السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, you have just been witness to a nikah that took place a few minutes ago. And generally it is my habit that if there is a nikah that takes place on a Jummah occasion, then I say something with regards to nikah in Islam. However, on an occasion like this, when we have a very big crowd, being a public holiday, so therefore the subject should be something that is relevant to each and everyone. Otherwise people will say that I am still a young person, or I am already an old person who has lost my wife, and there is no question of me getting married again, so how will this talk be relevant to me? So therefore I am making dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts into my mind something that will be relevant to all of us. We know that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, as we heard throughout the month of Rabiul Awwal, different seminars, talks, programs on radio stations and literature and publications, everywhere we read and we heard that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen. And if we want success in this life and the life to come, then everyone said one and the same thing, that there is no other way except to follow the Quran Sharif and the way of life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because I've explained many times, but for those who may be here for the first time, that some doubt that arises in our mind is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he lived in a 2x2 room. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 2 months, 3 months sometimes on end, the stove never lit in his home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tied stones on his belly. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went through such kind of hardships and difficulties. Now how are we going to follow and emulate that? So that was a life that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose for himself. Being the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he made the maximum sacrifice. We cannot even imagine the kind of sacrifice that the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made. Otherwise he could have had the mountains of Uhud walking with him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have been distributing gold and silver all the time, and his house could have been one of the most luxurious, and it could have been a palace. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for himself, he chose that way of life. However, for the ummah at large, knowing that they are going to be the rich, they are going to be the poor, they are going to be kings, they are going to be beggars, they are going to be all kinds of people in the society, they are going to be those who can face difficulties and hardships, and those who can make such kind of sacrifices, and there will be people who cannot make such kind of sacrifices. There will be people who will be used to comforts and luxuries, and there will be people who can do without everything. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a very, very balanced life, where the rich can practice, the poor can practice, everybody can practice. And therefore I kept on repeating in different talks one dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which he taught us, that when we are making wuzu at that time, we say, Allahumma gfirli zambi. O Allah, forgive me my sin. After wuzu, the person says, Ya Allah, forgive my sins. But then immediately after that, وَوَسِّعْلِي فِي دَارِي, and give me spaciousness in my home. So I mentioned that this is a dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the ummah at large. Because he knows that the ummah at large, they cannot sleep in just one room. The person will get married. The person will have parents. He will have children. He will have family members. He will have other visitors coming in to entertain them and everything else, where he will have to require spaciousness. He'll have daughters and sons, so he'll have to separate the beds of the daughters and the sons. And sometimes he'll have to separate the rooms. And especially in these days, it is extremely important that we are must be very, very cautious and very, very careful. Unfortunately, we are in deep sleep and negligence. We are in a state of ghaflat, complete indifference. We take everything for granted. But we who deal with cases every day of our lives, then we know what is happening even between brothers and sisters who are sleeping in the same rooms, and between cousins who are sharing the same rooms. Out of necessity, there is no other way that you can separate. So then that we will say is exception. But where we become completely indifferent and we even provide televisions in every room for every child, believe me, we are heading for disaster. Ask me, I'm telling you, we are heading for disaster because we are dealing with cases which are shocking beyond our belief. But if you cannot still understand the ishara and that I am making, so then I cannot do anything more than that. Believe me, that it's shocking beyond belief where sisters have had to go for abortion due to incest. So in any case, so we will make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give us spaciousness so that we can even separate that. And then be cautious. Do not do such things or do not purposely introduce such things in the home which will cause such kind of problems and such kind of moral destruction. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you make this dua. And then he says, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي رِزْقِي, and give me barakat in my rizq. Because that person is going to have children, he's going to have wife, he's going to have family members, he's going to have guests that are coming. So then he will need plenty of rizq and sustenance. So look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's great love for the ummah, that he's teaching us to make this dua, that Allah ta'ala must give us plenty of barakat also, so that we may be able to provide for all those needs and requirements. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. As I said, that every person can practice on his way of life those teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. So one of those very important teachings, and his by way of example, he demonstrated it in his own life. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam married. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had children. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had grandchildren. Now all this is a clear indication that the marriages of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, or the marriage of any Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is in no way an impediment. It is not a block. It is not an obstacle in the person's progress towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In his connection with Allah ta'ala, marriage is not an obstacle. In fact, it is a blessing. Because this person is then protected from haram, if he is seriously interested in being safeguarded from haram. If he is not interested and marriage is just one joke, or marriage is just one of those customary practices, as is in the case of the disbelievers, that in most instances, first they live a life of what we term as partnership, that they live as partners. They share the same apartment, therefore they call themselves partners. They live in the same apartment. The husband works, not the husband, the couple now, that is sharing the apartment, both work. And then after some time, when they have decided, then they think of marriage. And in many cases, sometimes children are already born, then they think of marriage. So now that is not Islam, that is not Sharia, that is not Quran, that is not Sunnah. And we know that those marriages haven't lasted, they have broken down. At the moment they make that, they undergo a marriage ceremony, after that they end up in the divorce court. So Islam wants to give us a life of happiness, of peace, of prosperity, of contentment, of satisfaction. A life in which there is sukoon in the heart. What is the purpose of wealth? What is the purpose of wealth? Why does a person work so hard? Why does he accumulate wealth? The whole purpose is so that he may find some kind of sukoon, some kind of peace, tranquility, happiness in his heart. Now if the person has forgotten the objective, so he's got plentiful, but he's got no peace of mind. And peace of mind only comes when the person is obedient to Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no other way. Sukune jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho, sukune jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho, sukune jahan hai nizam-e-madina. Sukune jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho, sukune jahan hai nizam-e-madina. Where are we searching for tranquility and peace and sukoon? Some people are searching for it in wealth. Some people are searching for it in positions of honor and respect. They say that we will find sukoon there. So therefore they aspire for the highest position in the land. There are people who are searching for it in holidays. There are people who are searching for it in gold and silver. People who are searching for it in businesses. People who are searching for it in many, many other places. Now all these things are permissible to make use of. We must not misunderstand. Allah Ta'ala created wealth for us. Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth for us. He created the gold and the silver, the uranium, the platinum and everything else Allah Ta'ala created for us. So to make use of the diamonds and pearls and jewels is permissible. But we will not find sukoon in there. That peace of mind will not be found in there. That will only be found in Nizam-e-Madina. That means that way of life that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam established and went. And he taught us. And he told us how to practice upon it. When we are going to practice upon that, believe me, we will have in our hearts a kind of a sukoon which the kings do not know of. But Allah Ta'ala only gives it in the heart. Therefore, from the outside, sometimes we see a person is seems to be very much in suffering, in difficulty, in hardship and in pain. Outside, every person, if somebody has got injury and hurt, it is going to cause pain. The person is going to bleed. If the person's head is and skull is cracked, then he can't say it is going to cause no pain. Can be the waliullah also is going to cause him pain. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he bled. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was stoned, he was hurt, he was injured. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shed tears upon the loss of his son and so many other occasions. Now all these type of things show that outwardly the condition can be the same. That outwardly when you see it looks the same. In fact, sometimes it looks worse if you have to look at Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at his condition when he was made shaheed, when he was martyred. Look at his condition. The nose is cut, the ears is cut, the chest is sliced, the heart is removed, the liver is removed. What a condition the body was in that even the mountain of strength and courage and sabr and patience, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he also saw the condition of his uncle, he could not hold back the tears from rolling down his cheeks. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who could have been more strong in patience than him? But he too, look at the outward condition. And then again, when they were burying Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, look at their kafan, that when they're giving the kafan, we give comfortably for sheets and so many other sheets also we put on. And here when they are putting that one sheet, when they are covering his head, the leg gets open. When they're covering the leg, the head gets open. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, just cover the leg, just cover the head and leave the leg open. Put some grass over there. That was the outside condition. And in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Sayyidu Shuhada, the leader of all the shaheeds and martyrs. On the day of Qiyamah in Jannat also, he'll be the leader of this Shuhada. So that was the situation in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And outwardly in our sight, therefore I always say that we sometimes rush into conclusions. When somebody meets up with an accident, there's a smash, and the person's bones are broken, and the person's body is all scattered, and the person is in a terrible condition. We say, what a terrible condition, what a terrible condition. But we don't know, that may be the outside condition, but if that person has become a shaheed, if a wall collapses on somebody, according to the Hadith Sharif, is shaheed. So when a wall collapses, will the person's body remain in one piece? If a huge wall collapses on somebody, will it remain in one piece? What will be the condition of the body? But the person in the eye of Allah Ta'ala is a shaheed. So therefore we should not rush to such conclusions. But what I am saying is that the outside condition could be the same. But inside the heart, when we are going to obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Allah Ta'ala gives such a kind of sukoon, such a kind of tranquility, such a kind of peace that our kings with all the oil wells do not know. If only they had come to know what kind of wealth is in the hearts of those who are obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But in the true sense of the word, not selective. We have become very selective that somebody performs an excellent namaz, but when it comes to his dealings, then it's rotten to the core. Somebody will making zikrullah and tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and he will be doing so much of other ibadat and giving charities, and he is a social worker, and he's this and he's that. But when it comes to his namaz and when it comes to other things, then he is negligent there. Somebody will be doing something excellent in one field and in the other field, again after that you find great negligence. So we are talking here of a package. Islam is a package. Our aqaid and our beliefs must be right. Our ibadat, our namaz, roza, zakat, hajj must be right. Our dealings with people must be right. Our etiquette must be right. Our morals must be right. Our akhlaq and our character must be right. The approach with people must be right. The person who is married, then his relationship with the wife, with the in-laws, with the, and when he gets children, then with the children, and with the parents, and with everybody has to be right. Therefore, this ayat constantly reminds us, if we read in the khutbah, that fear Allah tabaraka wa taqullaha alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham, and fear that Allah in whose name you demand your rights. I have mentioned this many times, that we demand our rights, that it is the Quran Sharif that gives me this right, Hadith Sharif gives me this right. So just as we demand our rights from others, in the same way we should fulfill the other people's rights also. They also have rights just as we have rights. If the wife, we are demanding rights from her, then she also has rights. We should not there use our own whim and fancy and discretion. Go by the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Fulfill her rights, then she will fulfill his rights and there will be happiness and unity. But here it's all one track, that we demand our right and we do not want to fulfill the other person's right. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his way of life, and one of which is this nikah, it brings sukoon in the heart if the person is really interested in sukoon. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya ma'ashara shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Addressing the youth, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, those of you who have the ability to get married, then get married. Physical ability, financial ability. But that again does not mean that the person must have enough money to hire the city hall or hire those halls which the decoration alone costs thousands of rands. Simple nikah. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had desired, then his marriages, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have sent the gold and silver from the heavens. His daughter's nikah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the simplicity in which the nikah was undertaken. Walimas also were very, very simple. So it's not a difficult thing. One great Allah wa'ala, he says that all my daughters and my sons, their nikahs were as simple and easy for me as making four rakat of sunnat namaz. That's all. There's a ready-made crowd in the masajid. Every namaz you get the ready-made crowd. Jummah day you get even bigger crowd. And we say that there mustn't be nikahs on Eid day, but you can have nikah on Eid day. Did anybody say you can't have? So if somebody wants massive crowd, have the nikah on Eid day. And somebody wants bigger crowd than that and have it in Hajj day, nothing wrong with it. You'll have 3 million people in the nikah. So nothing wrong with that. The crowd is there. After that, feed a few people for walima and so on, and give some mehr. So nikah is a simple thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made it very, very simple. So when the person is going to practice upon the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his nikah and in his home and in his life, then I am saying that Allah Ta'ala will give sukoon in the heart. شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گراں سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گراں سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. The kings who have got crowns on their heads, it causes them a lot of headache. Which king today is in peace? Which ruler is in peace? Which ruler has got real happiness? Which ruler has got some kind of security? Look at the amount of bodyguards and cars and military and everything that has to give them protection. They cannot even walk to a corner store, shop and buy something. That's the kind of life they have to lead. Again, don't misunderstand. Sharia doesn't say that you mustn't aspire or go higher and higher. I have mentioned this again many times, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that on the day of Qiyamah, amongst those people who will be given shade under the throne of Allah Ta'ala, one category is of those people who will be kings and rulers, sultans. But they will be those who were just and fair. They were believers in Allah Ta'ala. They were absolutely just in the ruling, in the dealing. They did not do any kind of injustice. They did not cause the people any kind of harm. They did not loot the people with all the taxes and everything else and build their palaces. Now, all those kind of sifat and qualities, if they had in them, if they were real just rulers, then they will get shade under the throne of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So what does that mean? That means that a person can be a king and still be the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So sukoon in the heart and tranquility and peace will come when we are going to implement these teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to marrying, how clearly he has said with regards to the wives Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. But if you have to read into it, there's lots of lessons for the husbands themselves. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that what are the qualities of a good wife? What are the qualities of a good wife? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that in amaraha ata'athu, that if the husband has to tell the wife to do something, then she is obedient. She does not put up a performance. She does not reject. She does not show that I have got more wealth than you have got, then why must I listen to you? She does not have an air about herself. She believes that she is a wife. So therefore, she must be obedient. But provided that command or that order is as we would ask a friend to help us or to do something. Our commands are like major generals, commander-in-chief of a military. Do this, do that, do this, do that, then you think she's going to listen. We're supposed to be friends. We're supposed to be batting on the same side of the team. We should be playing on the same side of the team. We should not be opposition. We should not try to catch her out, bowl her out, stump her out, throw her out. We should play on the same side. So now if the husband is going to say, please do this or please do that, and it is something that's permissible, that is acceptable, then the wife must go out of her way to please the husband. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, in nazara ilayha sarratku. When he looks at the wife, it's pleasing to him. She's pleasing to him. That means in the house also, because lots of women are listening over the receivers. In the houses also, those women folk must dress up nicely before the husbands. It must not be that only when they are going out into the bazaars and marketplaces and for weddings and walimas, then at that time they dress up and they use all the jewelry and every makeup and everything they can think of. And when they are in the homes, then after that they are dressing up as if they were sweeping the streets. So they must not be like that. They must dress up nicely. They must be cheerful when the husband comes into the house. So that when the husband looks at her, then he also feels pleased. How many husbands don't want to go home? Because they say there's a terror in the house. And on the other hand now, in the same thing, we must take a lesson, the husbands. That if we are going to be kind, we are going to be gentle, we are going to be generous, we are going to be polite, we are going to be humble, we are going to be overlooking, we are going to be forgiving, we are going to be sincere, we are going to be having that akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that how he dealt with his wives. Then believing that they are wives, Allah ta'ala gave them their freedom, but now they chose to tie themselves with us. They left their freedom and they became our slaves. So now we should treat them like the bandis and the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who also have great rights. And believe that Allah Ta'ala himself has interceded on behalf of the wives, that deal with them nicely, treat them in a good manner. Allah Ta'ala himself has said, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So if the husband is also going to behave in that manner, then automatically he is going to get a response. But even if he is behaving in a good manner and she does not respond, then after that he must realize that he is a man. He is not a woman, he is not a child, he is not a dog, he is not a lion, is not a wolf. Allah Ta'ala has made him man. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ. So therefore, أَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. He is from the رِجَال. So then this person must overlook, walk away at that time, project the same akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then see how beautiful the life will become. Then the third thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said is that if this person has to go away somewhere, if the husband goes away somewhere, then the wife is careful with regards to her chastity, her modesty, her haya. That means she doesn't allow anybody to come into the house who the husband would not have approved of, or what Sharia does not approve of, or she does not engage and indulge in adultery or anything of that sort. And with regards to his wealth also, she is careful that she does not do any kind of injustice. Now these are the qualities that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, some of them of the wife. I've just given the gist of it. But in looking into it deeply, then there is a great lesson for the husbands also, that what kind our behavior should be. But if the husband and wife have excellent good relationship, excellent relationship, but believe me, if they are going to watch those porns and they're going to watch the TVs and the movies and the Hollywood and the Bollywood, and if they are going to be quite happy with the music and with all the other kinds of sinful things in life, then believe me that marriage is going to end in disaster. If it's not going to break, there's going to be nothing but war, there's going to be nothing but fights and quarrels, or some children that will grow up there will make the life miserable for those parents, and with everything in the house, they will have nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. So it will come back to the same thing, obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It requires some pressure on the heart, definitely. But let the heart be shattered to smithereens if we really want that sukoon and the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala to come into that heart. That huge mountain, when the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala was cast on it, mountain of Tur, then it shattered to smithereens. It is said by Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, because it wanted to absorb the noor of Allah Ta'ala into every piece of stone. Therefore it was shattered. So in the same way, the heart of the mu'min, when it is shattered because there's attractions outside, distractions outside, there's an invitation from the prostitute quarters, invitation from the cinemas, invitation from the rave clubs, invitation from the discos, invitation from all those pretty faces that are walking around, that come, I'm inviting you towards sin. At that time, this young person with everything going for him, flashy car, cell phones, plenty of money in the bank, good health, handsome also, and he says, no, I fear my Allah. My Allah is watching. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. That when you are committing sins, hiding from people, believe that somebody is watching you from above. And that one who is watching you from above is all powerful, almighty, all hearing, all seeing and knowing. And he can pull the carpet from beneath your feet and make your life miserable and restless. And that same Allah has got the power to make your life very, very pleasant, very happy, very prosperous, very peaceful, very tranquil, very serene, very joyous, very happy. So what do you want now? Either you obey Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or obey nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Nafs and shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabah. Ay mere maula, meri madad kar. Chahta hu main teri pana. Turn towards Allah. Ask Him for His help. Ask Him for His assistance. And then see how many young people who have given up sins in their lives, see what they have now achieved. Ask them, they will tell you that what was the difference, what difference they have felt now. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the entire ummah with the understanding of true deen. May He give us the tawfiq to bring the complete deen into our lives. And may Allah Ta'ala bless this marriage that of the couple that took place. May Allah Ta'ala bless them with happiness, long life, prosperity, contentment, with taqwa, with shukr, with zuhad, with qanaat. And Allah Ta'ala make us all pious and righteous and remove the pain, suffering, difficulties and hardships of the ummah and mankind around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.